Open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 26, beginning in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them, come with the disciples, unto a place called Gethsemane. And he saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh to the disciples and findeth them asleep, and he saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And here in Matthew's gospel it said he left them. Can you imagine what he thought? Now, he knew them. He knew their everything, and he knew their eyes were heavy. He knew that they were tired, and he just came, and he checked on them. And he left them, and he went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he cometh to his disciples, and he saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. The hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. I want to try to think about that thought there in verse 41. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our Lord came to this place in the garden. He came here to pray. He must have come here many times because in one of the Gospels it said that Judas knew the place. He knew where to find him. He knew where he would be. He takes Peter, James, and John with him just a little bit farther than he did the other disciples. And he said, watch with me, watch and pray. He knows what's going to happen. He knows Judas is coming. He knows this is the hour that he came into this world for. And he goes and prays. We can't even begin to imagine what he prayed and how he prayed, pouring out his heart to God, saying, Not my will, but thine be done. We see there in the book of Isaiah talking about that cup of God's fury, the cup of sin. It talks about the dregs of that cup. That's all those things that settle in the bottom of the cup. He drank it all. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you think about this. If he's just the stones cast away, I'd say it being night, it probably quiet. I'd say they probably could hear him praying. You imagine hearing our Lord pray? You know, one time it says in Luke chapter 11, let me read you this in verse 1. And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. They heard him pray. No one ever prayed like he did. You go, he's the Son of God. What did he need to pray for? He was in total dependence upon the Father. You know, he lived by faith in the Father. It was his faithfulness. He's the one that ever did serve God faithfully and lived by faith. Looked to the Father and said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. And then he said unto him in Luke 11, verse 2, he said unto them, here's what he said, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in earth, so in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, and for we forgive everyone that's indebted to us. And listen to this, and lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. Watch and pray, verse 41, that you enter not into temptation. And what did he pray? Lord, lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. Me and Jeff was talking just a few minutes ago. You read about the kings in the Old Testament. Sometimes they said they did good things in the sight of the Lord, and then they did evil things. And who's to know? The Lord knows. The Lord knows. And we are all subject to temptation and trials. Watch that you don't enter into temptation. Peter's just said, we didn't go back and read that part. He said, Lord, everybody else may leave you, but not me. Then the rest of them said, well, we're chiming in with Peter. We won't desert you. Every one of them did. Every one of them did. Our Lord speaks to his disciples to encourage them. He should have received encouragement from them, but instead he finds them asleep. He said, watch and pray. Let me read to you what Alexander McLaren said. He said, I thought this was interesting. He said, watchfulness and prayer are inseparable. The one discerns danger and the other arms against it. Watchfulness keeps us prayerful, and prayerfulness keeps us watchful. To watch without praying is presumption, and to pray without watching is hypocrisy. He said, pray and watch. Watching for what? That's our Lord. He said, pray and watch that you don't enter into temptation. As long as we are in this world, we're going to be in a body of flesh. We are enticed with our own nature. As long as we're in this world, we're liable to temptation. We need to be constantly aware, and they were unaware of their own weakness. Like they said, we won't depart. They're laying there asleep. And our Lord is praying. In Luke's gospel, it said his sweat was as great drops of blood. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to be constantly reminded of our helplessness so that we will constantly, constantly look to our Lord for help. If they had only knew, it's like they never grasp it. Isn't it? It's like he told them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and be crucified, and I'll be buried. In 3 days I'll rise from the dead. But it's like they never grasp it. And they get there and they're tired. And they go to sleep. Listen, I thought this was amazing. Someone said, prayer in its essence is the conscience spreading of our helplessness before God. Lord, Lord, we need help. Lord, keep me awake. That's watchfulness. Praying and what? Lord, I'm getting, you imagine being in the military, if you was to stand watch, if you was to be caught going to sleep on your watch, it meant court-martial. You didn't go to sleep on the, he says, pray and watch. You know what we're admonished to do? Pray and watch. Hope you read the article in the bulletin by Spurgeon. It kind of sums that up. He's talking about the men digging the ditches and God filling those ditches with water. But they dug the ditches before the water ever came. They were praying and they were watching. Praying. And you imagine Noah, when he builds the ark, he built the ark before it ever rained. He's praying and he's watching. Praying and watching. Ephesians 5:14, listen, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Walk circumspectly. You know what that is? That's praying and watching where you walk. Isn't it? You can walk in circumspectly. Because you know why? Somebody's laying snares for you. Somebody's laying traps for you. They are. Pray and watch. You can understand, pray, well, I'm just going to be presumptuous and I don't have to watch. You better watch. Look at Peter. Lord, and he meant it. I know a lot of times we're critical with Peter, but that's us. You could put your name in that place. I won't leave you. And that, he meant it. He meant it. He said, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. He did. He did. Look how quick he departed and ran. And then you read him warming himself by the enemy fire. Lord, help us to watch and pray. Help us to be reminded that we are soldiers in enemy territory. Help us to not be asleep on our watch. This is our post. As I thought about this, watching, praying and watching, I thought about it, a pastor, listen. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your soul. You pray that God would show mercy to people, and you know then what you watch for. Maybe a little bit of interest. Maybe they come and you see them, they hadn't come for a while, and then they start coming every Sunday. And then they start coming on Wednesday night. You know what you're watching. You pray and you watch for, you watch, think about this. You watch for their souls. As they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. Let's look at the negative first. The flesh is weak. As long as we live in this world, we live in a body of flesh. That flesh is not so much this skin, it's our old nature. That nature that you were born with. That nature, that depraved nature, that when God regenerates you and gives you life, it never changed. And it's not going to change in this life. It's not improving. That's what religion don't get. They think that they can improve the flesh. You can't. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And will never be nothing but flesh. And your flesh is weak. Reminds me of Reuben. Your flesh is unstable as water. Unstable as water. Our Lord, in a kind rebuke, said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Our Lord is telling the disciples that this is serious time. We need to be watch and pray. Our faith is, our flesh is weak. It's weakness toward good, but it's strong toward evil. That flesh. And it's amazing how the Lord, he doesn't cover things up. It's like with Peter, will you say, well, is that the same man? Is that the same man warming himself by the enemy fire? Is that the same man? He's cussing and a swearing. He's cussing like a sailor. I don't know him. I don't know him. Did you hear not hear what I said? I don't know him. And the Lord just turns and looks at him and breaks his heart. That's us. And that's about how quick the flesh is weak. Our flesh is prone to wander. Lord, we feel it. Our flesh is prone to faint. Our flesh, I put it's just as sinful as it ever was. It's our sin, our flesh is more sinful. It's more deceptive. You know, think about the flesh deceiving you. Our flesh is most active when we think it's most dead. The flesh says, here's how your flesh talks. You don't need to pray. Isn't that how it works? He's just a little voice. Don't even speak, but you don't need to pray. You don't need to pray. Pray. Peter, pray and watch. The flesh says, I've got this. I know that. I've been down that road. I've got this figured out. Oh, really? That's your flesh. Let me read you a few verses. Galatians 5:17. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You cannot. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are life. I mean, they are spirit and they are life. Peter said that you no longer should live the rest of your life, the rest of his time in the flesh, to the lust of men, but to the will of God. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. He that sows to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Paul said, we're the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now listen to me. And we have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence, none. Not in my flesh or yours. No confidence. He's a very deceitful cuss. That's it. And I could use a few more words to describe him. That's who we are. That flesh. He thinks he's something special, don't he? I know so much and know so little. I want to give you examples. I thought about, the weakness. So I got to just doing some research, and one that came across my mind was Samson. So if you want to turn there, just I'll point out a few things in Judges chapter 16. This is a man, that the Lord worked through him and did mighty things. But he was still just a man. And he met a woman named Delilah. She can picture many things, but she could picture your flesh. You know what Delilah does? She deceives him. And you read the story and you think, well, surely he had to have seen what she was doing. Because the Philistines, when they found out that he liked Delilah, said, find out where his strength lies. How is it that he is so strong? And Samson said unto her in Judges chapter 16, verse 7, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then I shall be weak and be as another man. And then he said unto her, verse 11, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then I shall be weak and be as another man. And she said, Samson, quit lying to me. Tell me the truth. Where does your strength lie? And he said in verse 17, he told her all of his heart. He said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head. For I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. It was not that his strength was in his hair. His strength was in his consecration unto God. Spurgeon had a good sermon, Paul. He said that he described some of the razors that God would use, that would allow, or the enemy would use to shave off the locks. Now you imagine, he's laying his head in this woman's lap. He goes to sleep and he doesn't know that his head's being shaved. He said, there's the razor of pride. And he said, you could just see the flesh saying, oh, Samson, you're so strong. You've defeated 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. And you lifted up the gates of the city. You've done all these things, you mighty Samson. And they shave a few more. And they shave a few more. To his head is bald. And she says, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. And he shakes himself off and he goes as at other times. But little does he realize, the Lord has left him alone. And he is as weak as he said, any other man. You know what Delilah will do? She will put you to sleep in her lap. And like she did to Samson, she will steal your strength because the flesh is weak. David said, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I'm weak. I'm weak. That's us. At our best state, we're altogether vanity. The best prayer you think you've ever prayed is full of sin. It's full of flesh. But then the Spirit is willing. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Your flesh is weak, but the Spirit of God is willing. I mentioned last week about the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon. She said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. I sleep, that's my flesh. I'm weak in the flesh, but my heart waketh. That's that new man. He's always willing. Who's always there. By nature, we are so weak, we don't make excuses for our sins or for our weakness. Paul said, when we are weak, then am I strong. Lest he should be exalted above measure, the Lord gave him a thorn in the flesh. Now, I know Scripture says it was the messenger of Satan to buffet him. It said that when Delilah had all of Samson's locks cut off, she began to afflict him. Imagine how she afflicted him. Where's your strength at now, Samson? Where's he got at now, Samson? And that's the flesh. Where's he at now? I think the thorn in the flesh is your flesh. Everybody in here has that flesh. And that's your thorn that you have to deal with. And it keeps you humble. By the time you think you're pretty special, you'll find out you're not. I heard Henry say one time years ago on an old message, and he said, I learned the hard way that I ain't as special as I think I am. And he said, the Lord can do without me. He don't need me as much as I think he does. And that's just wisdom. Wisdom. The old man serves the new man. Esau served Jacob. Listen, Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. Be thou not far from me, O Lord. My strength, haste to help me. Psalms 138:3, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Well, Peter and the disciples and what he should have done said, Lord, don't let me go to sleep. Don't let me go to sleep. I mentioned last week, sometimes you come to the scriptures and try to read, and it's all you can do to keep your eyes open. I'm going to say, Lord, help me to read. Help me what I read. Help me to retain what I read. Lord, speak to my heart. You see what I'm saying? We're praying and we're watching. We come, well I can understand this. I can run cross references. I can read from Gill. I can read from Hawker. I can read somebody else's sermon. Oh, really? You can do that and still not get anything. You see what I'm saying? The Spirit is willing. You know who interprets this book for you? He does. The Spirit of God. If you know anything, it's because he taught you. If you get anything this morning, anything, it's because he does it. It's the Spirit that's willing. The Spirit listens. That's what he does. And he opens and speaks to your heart. He's willing. He's willing. Your flesh is thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow. What you're going to do after a while, isn't it? Take no thought for tomorrow. The things of tomorrow will take thought for themselves. The Spirit of God is always willing. Mark's gospel says the Spirit is ready. Lord, help us to pray. Listen, Romans 8:26. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. Like I said, I don't know what I need. Really. He may let, you know what we needed? We need the virus. Isn't that right? Or we wouldn't have had it. We needed it. Well, we wouldn't think we needed it, would we? But we needed it. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities, because we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit of God knows what you need. And he prays with groanings which can't even be uttered. Groanings. If our Lord prayed, how much more should we watch and pray? Like Hezekiah in 2 Kings 19. I think it's the king of Samaria said, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. So what did Hezekiah do? Verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messenger, and he read it. And Hezekiah went into the house of God, and he spread it before the Lord. He didn't say, let's get the army together. Let's go face him. No, he said, let's go talk to God. And you know what happened? Listen to this. In verse 35 of the same chapter, you imagine Hezekiah. His flesh is just as much flesh like yours. He's afraid. And rightfully so. This king of Assyria has destroyed all these many nations. And he says, your God's not any different than their gods. Your God's not going to save you. That's what he said. Have you not ever heard that? Your God won't save you. Your God can't keep you safe. Oh, yeah, he can. But here's what happened. Now listen. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And they rose early in the morning. Behold, they were all dead corpses. And they never fired a shot. Pray and watch. Hezekiah, did you hear what just happened? 185,000 Assyrians are dead. Listen, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. It talks about the armor of God. You know, he lists all the things. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And he lists all the armor. And in verse 19, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now look in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, praying and watching, perseverance, and supplication for all saints. He says, pray for each other and for me. And for me. You need prayer. And he said, I need prayer. That utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therefore therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The last weapon is prayer. It includes all sorts of prayer. Mental, vocal, private, public. What's that saying? We should live in an attitude of prayer. While we're sitting there, say, Lord, help my preacher. Lord, help these people as they come to listen this morning. They're weak. They need you. Above all the things, he says, praying always. Always. Albert Barnes said, to be the Christian soldier, prayer is indispensable. Prayer crowns all lawful efforts with success and gives a victory when nothing else would. No matter how complete the armor, no matter how skilled we may be in the science of war, no matter how courageous we may be, we may be certain that without prayer we shall be defeated. God alone can give the victory. And when the Christian soldier goes forth armed completely for the spiritual conflict, if he looks to God by prayer, he may be sure of triumph. This prayer is not to be intermediate. It is to be always in every temptation, in every spiritual conflict. What's he saying? We are to pray. Our Lord said, he spake a parable, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Peter, pray and watch that you don't enter into temptation. The spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. I got this, I think it was this week, I was reading something from Brother Fortner. Listen, this is just very simple, but it's so astounding. Our prayers, they should be simple, sincere, spiritual, and short. Simple, sincere, spiritual, and short. Let me give you a good example. Peter's walking on the water and Peter begins to sink. He didn't go through some big routine. He just said, Lord, save me. Lord, I need your help. Avoid anything like pretense, formality, or show. In conclusion, turn with me to Genesis 24. I want to show you this. Abraham has sent his servant to find the bride and fetch her and bring her back to Isaac. And can you imagine the task that's laid upon this servant? How will I know her? How will I be able to detect this woman that God has chosen from all the other women? How will I know? How will I know when I see her? Where am I to go? He never told him, he told him to go to a certain area, but he never told him which house to go to. Now listen. Genesis 24:11, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening. Why did he go to a well? Because that's where girls or women would go to get water. You see, he's praying and watching. He's not being presumptuous. Even the time that women go out to draw water, he went there. Well, they'd be coming in a little bit to get some water, and I'm going to be out there waiting on them. And here he prayed. O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby I shall know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. He says, when the woman comes up and asks her to give me some water, she says, okay, I'll give you some water, and I'm going to water all your camels. Why would she do that? Because the Lord meant for her to. And he will know that that's her. Now listen, here's what I want you to see, verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. Jeffrey, he had much more than, he may have just prayed it in his mind. He had much more than done speaking. Well, looky here. I wonder, Yvonne, I wonder if that's her. Well, sure enough, it is. You know what he did? He prayed. And he watched. Maybe the Lord give me liberty and I can preach that whole message sometime. But, you know, he just watched her. He never told her why he came. He never told her that he came to get her. And he never told her what she's doing. He never told her to water them camels. Till she gets back at the house. And they want him to sit down and eat. And he said, I ain't sitting down to eat. He said, I didn't come here to eat. I got an errand to tell. He said, my master sent me to get a bride. And he said, here's what I prayed. He said, I prayed that God would send a woman and she would water my camels. And she said, we're going, really? Is that why I watered them camels? She said, he's talking about me. And she finds out God's purpose when he's preaching the gospel to that family. And she said, and they said, would you go with this man? She said, I'll go. And he takes her to meet Isaac. The spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. God, give us grace to pray looking to him for all things. Lord, give us patience in this time. Lord, help us to honor you. Lord, open up a door for us. You know, it's like I mentioned it in the Bible class that woman asked me to come preach, and I hope she does ask me. I hope it's a Sunday evening we can all gather and go over there. But, you know, let me tell you a story. Danny told me this. Out from Danny's house over in Gay, there's a little church building, very nice building, but it's now growed up. Trees are higher than the roof. Used to be a Methodist church. And Danny said years ago, they invited Henry Mahan to come preach. Now, some of you that don't know about Methodists, those United Methodists, they send their money to an organization, the main office. And that main office owns those buildings where they meet. And they don't pick them a pastor, they send them a pastor. It can be a male, it can be a woman, it can be a homosexual. It doesn't matter because they don't choose their pastor. And when they found out Henry preached there, they shut the doors on that building. They said, you're not meeting here anymore. We own that building and we ain't putting up with it. But you never know. You never know. You think about this. The Lord sent the gospel out to Gay. Pray. Has that been a help? I hope it has. I hope it's been encouraging. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.